Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio Battle Lines. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. On Warn Radio Battle Lines broadcast, we feature an in-depth biblical study each week. All correspondence and inquiries of broadcasts of the WIBR Warn Radio Network can be sent to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. Today is Thursday, the 21st of November, 2019. And the scripture reading this week is Genesis chapter 23, starting at verse 1 through chapter 25, verse 18. 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 1 through 31. And the New Testament portion is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 57. Be sure to follow the Warn Radio on Facebook at facebook.com, WatchmanIS, instagram.com/Warn Radio, Twitter.com/Warn Radio and also /Watchman IS216, and LinkedIn is /IN/Watchman. You can find shows on our website at warn-usa.com for downloading and listening, and also on danaglennsmith.com we have a Spreaker app, and then you can find Warn Radio on these website streamers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk, Podcast Addict, CastBox, and Google Podcasts. And we're also on Deezer. We just added that one this week. Each week, Dana writes a new article, and they're very inspired and pertinent to the day and age we're living in. So please read his articles and pass them along to your friends and relatives. And this week, the articles by the Watchman are The Cup of Sorrows, The Truth of Righteousness. Cup of Sorrows, The Battle for Truth and Righteousness Finds It in the Times of Sorrows, commonly called the Last Days or the Last of the Last Days. It pits nations of men against the Lord and His anointed. It brings tools to this battle using governments, laws, action, and wickedness. Today, there are those who will stop at nothing to get their agenda fulfilled, whether it be worldwide Islamic rule, globalist socialism, or nations of hedonism. Many would destroy to get the thing they cherish. Also, Ecclesiastes, mirror of reflecting man's choice. Ecclesiastes' mirror casts a reflection regarding man's choices. Many today may find its content depressing. Some people may not even consider it at all. But the Ecclesiastes' mirror is full of wisdom. We walk through some verses found in Ecclesiastes, and moreover, from the book and the writer along, with the speaker, the full revelation of the coming Messiah had not yet been revealed. And tonight on the show is part 26 of Pride of Moab, Isaiah's prophetic book. The Pride of Moab. The issues of today are linked to the nations of the past. As is true, history repeats itself, and the nations of men do not learn from history. But when judgment comes, and with it desolation, men then learn who is the real power in the earth. This power is not Satan, but the Lord God, who gave all things into the hands of His Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
Thank you. You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, good. Glad that we can be here again tonight. Oh, you better mention next week. It's Thanksgiving.
Yes, next week, of course, is Thanksgiving, and we will have one show next week, and that will be our advocacy broadcast on Wednesday. But these are all go out to our network, and so you'll find them out there. We normally get these up Wednesday night because we broadcast live, and we broadcast live using Blog Talk Radio. But sometimes we'll use a Spreaker as well. So it's hard to say because there has been some issues. And we, before we broke away this last time, we had been on Blog Talk for 10 years, 10 or 11
wow.
years. And
I didn't realize it had been that long.
Yeah. And so we came back because we had another focus. And while we're back on Blog Talk, that's just one part of what we have, because we are on a lot of other particular, show networks, affiliates or whatever you want to call them. They're just they just take these and stream them on their sites and stuff. And so you can check them out. You can go by both of our websites. We have the list there. We also have a player that you can listen to everything. And on our warn-usa.com, you can actually go there, and every show is there along with all of our articles. Now, the shows, the reason you want to listen over on our website is because I write an article with them, gives a little more background and everything to them, and it also gives you a chance to a little bit easier download and things like that. So it does give you a little more there. But over the years, Tower, we started out doing audio online when not very many people were doing it. That was the old days when you literally had to know the script. It took quite a bit in order to call it. And, of course, I used to do all that script many years ago. And it was really extensive. It was a lot different than the way it is today. Today, everything is pretty much automated. We have the complete system all worked up. So it's a lot different than it used to be. But we just got over a storm here up on the mountain they had. They were supposed to have had a foot. We didn't get a foot. We had a skiff and a half or so. It got a little cold, but not really cold. And Thanksgiving's coming up, and then Christmas. We're in, kind of in the holidays. Yes, I don't curse people for keeping Jesus' birthday. The bottom line of it is that a lot of people keep Christmas to honor Christ. And although there's many messianics and others that just think this is just absolutely godless, I don't have a problem with it because Jesus, Yahshua, is preached and taught and glorified. And those are Paul's words when he was imprisoned in Rome. That's what he said. Some preach Christ out of envy. Some preached him because they wanted to, and they were happy to do it. And so he says it doesn't matter as long as Christ is preached. And that's the bottom line, because they keep Christ. Now, you see, it is true when you're speaking of Christmas. There's nowhere in the Bible, celebrating his birth. There's nowhere in Scripture that admonishes you to remember his birth. Matter of fact, the thing he gives you, and that is communion. And, of course, we celebrate communion when we do Passover. And there is a reason for that. But at any rate, you know, when you look at the whole thing, you know, he said, do this, you know, remember, do this, by doing this, you remember my death till I come. And that's the only thing he really did say, you know, as far as that goes. But, you know, when I was, you know, had Christmas as well as Tower when she was small, you know, and I would lay underneath the tree and everything like that. There's one thing was never on our mind, worshiping idols and anything else. We knew what it was. We knew what it meant. And it was a time surrounding being thankful and family time and having a big meal and being thankful to the Lord. And so there's a lot of difference between some people's perspective of it, but nevertheless, Thanksgiving is a very
different.
Yeah, today it really is. But
it's a lot different. Yeah, sorry for interrupting.
No, that's okay. I got kind of carried away. I'm like that when I get into it, just starts rattling off the information. The computer says, okay, we got the information, boss. Just keep talking. So at any rate, Thursday, Thanksgiving, I believe in being thankful. Although the rest of some of the family are a ways away, it's hard to get away to get with everybody. You know, nowadays it's a lot of different. You know, Tower, when I was raised, we had all the family together practically.
Now it's not. They're all spread out all across the country nowadays.
Well, you know, when my aunt and uncle and all their kids and all my cousins and my grandma and grandpa and everybody got together, I mean, we had a tribe.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was big. We had a lot of people, a lot of folks. But they're all scattered throughout America now. Haven't heard of them, talked to them in years and years and years. But in those days, everybody was together.
Yeah.
You know, today now we're all scattered. It's just the way it is. Well, today we are going to be discussing Moab and some of the issues are going to be very relative to what's going on in America and the world. And so at any rate, I'm going to go ahead and do this. Do we got anything else we need to do first?
No, I don't think so. I'll see you on the other side.
Okay. Well, when we talk about Moab, and we have been talking about Moab, whenever I think of Moab, I think of enemies, the enemy of God, the enemy of the church. But when you get back in Isaiah's time and you get here, you know, the one thing Isaiah talks about in Isaiah 16:6, we have heard of the pride of Moab. And, you know, it's one thing. You know, you look at this and, you know, there's a lot of churches that wouldn't even look at these particular scriptures. They wouldn't really spend a lot of time dealing with all of Isaiah because they would just pick out the stuff concerning the Messiah. But we found, and I've done this for years and years, whether I preach in Genesis or whether I preach in Malachi or wherever I'm at, I always can relate it to the New Testament, to the New Covenant, to the Lord, and to our modern day. And see, that's what it's about. We are to learn from these things, Paul says. And when we're talking about the pride of Moab, I mean, does anybody else have pride of nations? I mean, is there any other nations with pride? Dear God in heaven, it'd take me a while to repeat all the nations that have pride, and there's a reason that we can say that because of the way they act and what they do. You know, I mean, one of the biggest ones that's actually an enemy of America is Iran, and Iran has cut off the internet because they're having all kinds of trouble over there, riots and stuff. I'm not sure what it's all about. I did see it, but I didn't really read it. I was focusing on our advocacy stuff because we just completed that last night, the persecuted church. And of course, Iran has also, made a target of Israel. So that's a whole other thing. But see, all these issues are in the book. all these things are denote an enemy. And when we have heard of the pride of Moab, Moab was an enemy of Israel. And it says he is very proud, even of his haughtiness or arrogance. And that's what that means, an arrogance. And you know, there's a lot in society today that is arrogant. A lot of people, haughty. They have money. You know, even the ones that don't have money are proud. But, you know, the one thing we do have in America, we have a lot of drugs. We have a ton of hedonistic behavior, immoral. And everybody has pride today, you know, Pride Parade, you know, the gay and lesbians and all them. They've used the rainbow, which God put in the sky for a promise. It wasn't to signify anything concerning gay lesbians, but they've adopted it as their own sign. And so a person can't even have a rainbow flag or a rainbow or enjoy a rainbow without, you know, someone saying, oh, well, you're a gay pride dude or whatever, you know, which I don't even go there. You know, gay, lesbian, all the others, it doesn't even come into my vocabulary hardly at all. These people have, you know, the right to do whatever they're doing. And scripture tells us in Revelation 22, and you can read it, he that is wicked, let him be wicked still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. Now, you get over there and read that in Revelation 22, and you can see the scripture that has that in it. I'm not repeating the whole scripture. I'm just giving you a place to find it and how you can go read it. So we have heard of the pride of Moab, very, very proud, very arrogant, haughty, and his pride, this word for pride, we have pride of Moab, he is very proud, and his pride. Now see, in case you're ever wondering, you have three words here, and every one of them in the Hebrew have a different meaning. You have the pride of Moab, and then you say he is very proud, that's the second time, and his pride, that's the third time. Now, you see, everything in Scripture is, as it says in the law, is to be verified by two or three witnesses. And even the Lord, when he was on earth, the Jews challenged him on the witness part, which he told them who the witnesses were. Nevertheless, here we have it three times, which means you better pay attention. Twice, pay attention. Three times, you're very, very much better pay attention. It is very important to understand that when we deal with the judgment on Moab, the thing that occurred was the pride. And he just wasn't like proud. Well, you know, I'm a proud father, or I'm proud of my car, or I'm proud of America. I'm proud to be a patriot, or I'm proud to be a Christian. Well, this got into the part where you started crossing over the laws of God, and here in arrogance and his pride, pomp and swelling. So his arrogance, of course, when you talk about haughtiness and arrogance, it actually comes, from the pride, and it begins to grow. And the other word for pride means swelling. So that's the growing of the pride. You know, I mean, why should we just have a little pride? Let's have a lot of pride. And, of course, when pride begins to have pride in sin and iniquity, then you have a pride that will lead to the destruction and to the judgment of wherever you're at. Because pride is one of those things that will bring judgment on you. Many people think, well, it's going to be our sins. Well, the sins, yes. Well, see, you're going to be judged about the sins anyway. Everybody will. The second death is when your body dies, and of course you lose this vessel of clay, and you begin to get to the point where when the great white throne judgment happens, you're going to stand before him. Well, Christians, because we believe in Christ, we've been delivered from the second death, and that's our hope. But see, if you don't have Christ, then you're going to be subject to that, and God will judge all men. But see, the thing of it is that when we're talking about pride, yes, there was sin in Moab. There was sin in Israel. There's sin in America. But when pride gets to be swelling and arrogant and, you know, it's shake the fist pride. It's, you know, beat someone up pride because they're not just, you know, acting right towards you. I mean, we're there in America right now. The judgment, you know, if we were talking about pride, then judgment on America is close, real close, because especially during this division, which we have and the vitriol and the hatred, we have the pride of men and women and even kids that are forming barriers, and a house divided against itself will not stand. Moab is falling because they were an opposition to Israel, because they had caused Israel trouble. They were an enemy of Israel, and they wound up falling. And here in his pride, swelling his wrath, which is his outburst of passion, anger, and rage, which you see a lot among the Arabs. But the Arabs are actually known. We talk about this out of Ishmael. Ishmael, well, that's one of the things about Ishmael that's in the prophecy that that Jacob gave and that Moses repeated, was the fact he would be in the face of every man his brother. And that's the way they are today. They're very fiery. They're in their face. They're ready to fight. They're ready to get it on. But his lies, he is a liar, shall not be so. Everything is going to be brought low. It's going to be destroyed. And then the result of this judgment. Now, see, that's the problem with judgment. So you can have pride, and you can have pride that is arrogant and swelling, and you have you know, things going in your society, but you're proud. But see, your pride and the sins that you're doing cross over into the judgment of God. And you continue to do this, then there comes a time when you meet head on with the Lord God, who decides it's time for you to stop it. And you won't stop it, because he always gives people a chance to repent. And when they do not, that's it. He gave Sodom and Gomorrah a chance to repent. He gave Nineveh a chance to repent. Sodom and Gomorrah didn't repent. Nineveh did repent. And then they forgot they repented, and 70 years later, they were judged. Judgment is redemptive in every case when God sends judgment. The only time it isn't redemptive is when you're standing at the white throne judgment at the end of days, and you have rejected the only begotten Son of God, so you're standing before the Lord, and having rejected him, therefore he can't stand up for you, because you never received him and you never believed upon him, so you'll depart away from him. Now see, in verse 7, therefore shall Moab howl for Moab. Now you see, they're already self-centered in that they've got this pride, they've got an arrogance, oh, we're fine, everything is wonderful, you know, we're doing this. And many nations have pride, every nation on earth. You know, being proud of who you are, that's one thing. But the pride we're talking about goes further than that. And therefore, Moab shall howl for Moab. Well, of course, even when we read about the judgment on Mystery Babylon, and as the smoke rises, there's a lot of people who had been made rich by Mystery Babylon who are howling and crying because she no longer exists. So howling and crying and everything like this over destruction is common to the human condition. But one thing, when destruction comes, you begin to find out how utterly small you really are. How in all your pride, you didn't realize that there was another hand that guided the nations of men, and you failed to heed. And we see this in the Old Testament very colorfully many, many times, and that's why people use this as a tool to bash the Lord God. Now, I'm not here to defend the Lord God, because he defends himself. I'm here to tell you the truth. If you don't want to listen to the truth, then you'll deal with him. That's just what it is to it. I'm not going to twist your arm. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm going to tell you the truth. And after that, it's up to you. And if you got a problem with God, it's about time you deal with it. Because if you wait until you stand before him, it's going to be too late. Moab should have been friends. They shouldn't have done what they did. But see, when you look at the other gods they served, and so Moab shall howl for Moab, and Kyle and Delicious says four little words, the land was miserably laid waste. That's the way Kyle and Delish, these were Hebrew scholars, talking about Moab's judgment, miserably laid waste. Now, it's not just pretty bad, it's miserably laid waste. And, that's when, if it was modern day, there's not going to be anything left. Now, we've seen areas that have been hit, especially recently when it hit the islands down there, when Jamaica got hit and a lot of the others, the ones got hit. I think it was Jamaica. At any rate, which island it was just flattened. That's miserably laid waste. And it's not that there was judgment on it. In our end of days, there are such things as signs and wonders of the end of days. And the reason these things happen is very simply, and we're going to cover this in Isaiah when we get to that chapter, and I'll describe to you how the curse has devoured the earth and how that curse and the way it's devoured the earth has brought on global warming and a lot of other things. While, today these nincompoops who are running for the Democrat thing, they were blaming everybody for global warming. And so, the kind of people you have running for your presidency. This is also found in scripture. I have dealt with that. I've covered that. I will give you babes to be rulers over you, people that don't know what they're doing, people that are willing to do anything just to get elected. Nobody that has any sense wants it, and the rest of them go after it. Now, see, the only reason you have some of them going and trying to get elected now is because many of them, especially in the Democratic field, just can't stand to have Trump have four more years. So they're all throwing in their hat. You have two billionaires now running, and both of those are dedicated to overturning Trump's election. So there's a lot of enemies here in America, a lot of division, and they think, well, if we get it, we're going to change everything. And then as soon as you do, everything's going to go down, and you're going to find more judgment. This thing is not going to go away, and you're not going to be able to be evil and wicked all your life. You're not going to be able to do that. There's going to be things happen. God cuts off the wicked. You may not like that, but that's the way it is. This is about a God who sent his son to redeem the righteous, to redeem men who were wicked so they might become righteous. So everyone shall howl for the foundations of Kirjathareseth, which is, and I don't necessarily say these things in the transliteration the way they should. Principal fortress of Moab was destroyed. Well, it's like one of our major cities being destroyed. And it says, everyone shall howl because your main fortress is going to be destroyed. It's just like taking out your main batteries, that you use to defend yourself. It's just like, it's not there. You can't use it. And so they will mourn and they're stricken. it's like, boy, we got a lot of pride in Moab, but in one fell swoop, there's no pride because pride leads to sorrow. Now, see, you can write that down or remind yourself because there's a certain amount of pride that we have as human beings. We're proud to be whatever race we are. We're proud of our parents. We're proud of our family. We're proud, like if you're a ball game and you was on a ball team and you won the game, you'd be, well, I'm happy. I'm proud we won, That's one thing. But when the pride goes beyond that, it goes into a haughtiness and an arrogance and a nation, and you live that way continuously, and you swell and become big. Look at Babylon. She had pride as well, and she was destroyed. And then Cyrus came on the scene. Verse 8, for the fields of Heshbon languish, and the vine of Sibmah, and the lord of the heathen, princes of the pagan nations, invaded Moab. The lords of the heathen. So you have all of this. I mean, there's no place that they haven't gone. And so the lords of the heathen, these are the princes, these are the ones that are heading up the armies of the pagan nations that surround Moab. They came in. And they've broken down the principal plants thereof. They are come even to Jazer, which is east of Jordan. They wandered through the wilderness, and her branches are stretched out, and they are gone over the sea. You know, the thing we need to look at is, you know, when we take a, now we talked about the vine of Sibmah, and these are vines that produced the grapes of a wine that was very, very good. And it was usually drank by the monarchs, you know, the people with the money and the power. And even if you were accustomed to drinking, you know, this was the kind of wine that was very, very good, and it would really get you drunk. And it was one of the best, and it was very popular, and it came out of Moab, and it came from Sibmah and the vines where all these things grew. And, of course, it's like when you look at some of the places we have, oranges, you know, California oranges, Florida oranges. You have Napa Valley, which is very well renowned. It's like everything in these places would be destroyed. And if there's ever judgment here, you can forget Napa Valley because it won't even be left. See, judgment doesn't care. Judgment destroys. And the thing that brought it on was pride. And that pride flowed out of the sin of the people. And out of the sin that they did, and they did it regularly, they gained confidence in the sin. They refused to listen. They became hardened in their heart. They became seared in their consciences, and they never turned away from what they did. And they put pride on top of it. They became very arrogant about the pride, and they would attack and destroy at will because of their pride. And now their pride has found them in trouble because the pagan nations who have seen what Moab has been doing have taken them on and invaded. And so that's the line of Sibmah. Now, there's a few things in here. When we talk about pride, in Psalm 10:2, it says, the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. Now, see, you might think that in America we take care of the poor, but we don't. Now, see, the Democrats and Jesse Jackson and all the others who are black and spend a lot of time standing up for the black community, which is all right. Yet many times I've heard black people stand up and say that the Democratic Party has done nothing to help them. Meanwhile, under Trump, black unemployment is the lowest ever. There's been more people off the unemployment lines as ever before, off food stamp as never before. See, that's how you help people in America. But see, the idea today, especially among the Democrats, is something totally ludicrous. And all of these people running are the same way. Now, what happens if these people suddenly win, Trump gets out of there, and we begin going down the socialist agenda where they're going to remove all the oil and the coal, they're going to start importing all the oil, they're going to start doing all this stuff that they want to do? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. That is going to be the sign that judgment is going to be here. God will use this. Just like he uses everything, because judgment is coming. And in a lot of ways, judgment is on this nation. And many of them hate Trump so much because of what he represents. Not that he's done anything wrong. The numbers economically are some of the best we've ever seen. But yet they hate him. See, this is the hate and the arrogance. So if they get into power, then they're going to take you down the same path they're in, which is misery, sin, and devastation. That's exactly what's coming to America if this thing happens. Nothing you can do about it. And of course, many people say, oh, you're crazy. Well, it doesn't matter to me what you think anyway. You just keep watching. Because make no mistake, wickedness and pride are bedfellows. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Well, they can't be in his thoughts. Well, Paul said it best when talking about him and the apostles. He says, to those that believe, we, speaking of the gospel and the apostles who preach it, we are an aroma of life. See, the gospel is an aroma of life to those who believe. But he said it's an aroma of death to those who don't. And that's why many nations where we find persecuted Christians, people who hear the gospel are absolutely, they see death and destruction. That is until God removes the veil. Then they become believers. And we see that a lot. Psalm 59:12, for the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them ever be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak. Now, you see, that describes America today. We have a lot of people, the sin of your mouth, also the sin of your Twitter feed, the sin that's happening on all the liberal news that are taking false statements and reporting lousy news. I mean, news that is wrong, blatantly. And the words of their lips, see, and it's coming because of pride. See, we see this stuff in America today. We also see it in Iran and how they act towards Israel. We see it in the nations of men. See, this is not just with America. This is with the nations of men we find these things. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covers them as a garment. Psalm 73:6. Now, that happened in a particular instant there, but it also, right now, we know very well that there are those who call themselves Antifa, and there's others who would beat up people just because they're a Trump supporter, and we've seen that time and time again. Proverbs 11:2, when pride cometh, in cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Sometimes when you don't have a lot to lose and you're down there, you know. As scripture says, not many mighty, not many noble, not many rich are called. For God has chosen the base things of this world to confound the wise. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. All of those things. Pride, arrogancy, evil, the evil way and the forward mouth, the evil mouth. He hates. But this is commonplace every day in America today. It's also commonplace in many nations today. And it's going to keep getting that way until it gets to the point when the harvest is due. And you'll, if you're alive and that happens, you'll know it. Proverbs 13:10, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Well-advised, that means you shut your lips and you go somewhere else. But see, in America, we have freedom of speech, we have freedom of everything, and people think that means freedom to sin, freedom to be wicked, freedom, you know. Well, you know, I believe I'm a this, this, and a this, so my rights are important. So we have a lot of people declaring rights and who they are over everybody else's rights. It doesn't matter. You know, I mean, if you want to put up a Christian flag, you know, and if you've got 10 of you that want to put up a little Christian flag, and there is a Christian flag, by the way, and you have one person that objects and he goes to court, the court's going to tell you to take it down, or the city fathers might. See, this is the way it works in America. It's not the way it should, but that's what they do. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Well, that's Proverbs 14:3. Well, I gave you these to let you understand about pride. If you think pride is just a problem of Moab, then you're not getting the point here. We're not going through Isaiah and Moab just to give you a history lesson of Israel. We're going through this to tell you how this book relates and how the very things that this prophet by the name of Isaiah, in our English, Isaiah, spoke to them. For these words are spirit and they are life. And they apply to the nations of men. They apply to every church. They apply to every Christian. They apply to every wicked person, every unbeliever, everyone. Whether you're white, black, green, purple, blue, no matter what your race is, no matter where you live, in every nation on earth, these words apply the same. In North Korea, there is an evil of pride. China, there is an evil of pride. You can go down the list. In Russia, there's an evil of pride. Because flesh is not going to be lifted up on the day of judgment. For the earth will be filled with the glory of the knowledge of the Lord. And you can say from sea to sea and shore to shore, from north to south and east to west, and from heaven to earth and beneath the earth and above the earth, all shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. It's not going to be filled with the glory of man and flesh. That's sinful. So God has allowed you to live so long, and he's allowed you to have your governments. But when you start violating the space, and that's exactly what I talk about in this particular article I did, and you need to listen to it because I'm not going to delve into it, it tells you even more about these issues. Isaiah says in 16:9, therefore I'll bewail with the weeping of Jazer, the fine of Sibmah. I will water thee with my tears, O Heshbon and Elah. For the shouting of for thy summer fruits and for thy harvest is fallen. Now you see, today in America, especially where we live, we pretty much have to, you know, buy things as they're available. If we're going to buy fresh fruits and vegetables, it's not like we're in Napa Valley where we can go to a farmer's market. They've got farmer's markets in Seattle and in many other places. We don't have a great big one where farmers are just growing them outside of town. So we've learned here that you have to buy things in advance. You've got to stock up because we get cold here. We can have blizzards here. You can't make it to the store. So we're kind of prepared. But around the world, in many places, you can get this through the Mediterranean, many Arab nations. People only buy on a daily basis those things which they are going to eat. Now, I remember working for a French chef. And, of course, I am a chef by trade. I've retired quite a long time ago, and I'm a caterer and a businessman. My wife is, my whole family did that. And the thing of it is, we know good food. And we know where it comes from and how to prepare it. But the bottom line of it is if you don't have a harvest, if you don't have summer fruits, if there's no wine from the vintage, if there's no olive oil from the olive presses, if there's no flour from the mill, there's no food. But see, in America, we've got stores. And I remember at this one big church we went to, Rod Parsley, you may have heard of him. He had 20,000 people in his service, and I was going up there for an ordination type thing, anointing thing. And we met this brother there from Africa, and he said, "You got clothes on the floor." Well, he was having trouble using the pop machine, so we had to help him because he didn't know how to do it. He was in America. He had been overseas in Africa. And see, in the dirt hut where he was at, or the church, there was nothing on the floor. But he said, "There's clothes on the floor." That's the only word he could use. We didn't know what he's talking about. And we said, "Oh, that's the carpet." See, there's such difference between us and the rest of the world. And see, this prophet is sitting there, and we've talked about him before. The desolation is so great that the prophet is going to lament it, although this is on an enemy of Israel, another nation. Now, you see, everything had gotten to the point where in the fall time, which is a wonderful time of harvest, I love that time. The bottom line of it is there's no harvest. So instead of rejoicing in the harvest, which is normal, especially even in our area, because for us in this area, back in the covered wagon days, when you got to the fall, that was having everything to keep you through the winter. If you didn't have a crop, you were going to starve to death, you and your family, because there was no food. And anything that came into the local store, which was miles away, it was hard. They may not have a lot of stuff. So you could starve to death. And so the Isaiah is saying, "I will bewail." Because it was so devastating. There was no harvest. There was nothing but tears and mourning. And verse 10, it says, "And gladness take away and joy out of the plentiful field." The plentiful field, Hebrew, from Carmel, means a fruitful field, as well as a mountain of that same name, Mount Carmel. That's the same word there, same Hebrew word. And in the vineyards, there will be no singing. Why? Because there's no vineyard. Everything's been destroyed, which is common when they make war. They come in and they destroy everything. They run it over. They take what harvest there is. They burn the rest. "Neither shall there be shouting. The treader shall tread out no wine," because there is no wine. "They have made their vintage shouting to cease. Wherefore my bowels shall sound like a harp for Moab, and my inward parts for Kirhath-ish." Breathish. And of course, this is, of course, he's saying bowels, which your bowels is known as your seat of compassion. That is the innermost part that you're aching because of what's going on. So he really does see this. Now, see, he's seeing this as a vision. So this is something that many people haven't had these kind of open visions. But see, the thing of it is that when we read Daniel, we know Daniel was shown things and visions that actually made him sick, and he didn't even understand them. in the last part of the book, he didn't understand that men will run to and fro throughout the earth and knowledge shall be increased. The angel just told him to shut the book until the time that it's to be opened again. Daniel didn't know what it was. Daniel saw it, he wrote it down, and that was it. In verse 12, and it shall come to pass when it is seen that Moab is weary on the high place, that he shall come to his sanctuary to pray, but he shall not prevail. Now see, this is one thing every nation has. They always have a backup. And of course, here for them, it is Moloch or Chemosh, the abomination of Moab. Now, of course, this is exactly what Jezebel and Ahaz got into. The abomination of the children of Ammon, Solomon under the influence of his idolatrous wives. That's why Israel was actually divided into two houses, because of the sin of Solomon. His idolatrous wives had turned his heart, and he built a high place. And, you know, this made God angry. And so there was judgment on him for that. Now, see, the many people, when we look at that, we see the backsliding of Solomon. Now, the Jews in their writings say that Solomon repented. They don't acknowledge that he had continued to be that way, but that he repented. That's what they say, at least the stuff that I've seen on it. And so what do you do when you have such devastation? Well, you go to church. For them, it's their idols, the Temple of Chemosh. And so they go up there. Now, see, there is scripture to that part where the Lord says, go ahead, call upon your gods and your idols. See if they will deliver you out of my hand. See, God challenges them. He challenged the gods of Pharaoh. And if you see all that, you know, what God was doing with Pharaoh to deliver the children of Israel is just getting the Israelites out. No, there was a show of power over the forces, not only of nature, but of the gods of the heathen. That's what that represents. So go ahead and cry to your idols and see if that's going to help. If you want to be, you know, a witch or an atheist or whatever. Now, see, witches now, they think they're fine. But witchcraft is not coming to the Lord. Now, there are people, and we have all kinds of them who say there are witches and they're Christian. No, that ain't going to work. Now, you may say it works. It ain't going to work. But see, this is the problem you have today. So what does Scripture say? Scripture gives us the solution. Revelation 22, he that is wicked, let him be wicked still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. In other words, and after that, he says, for I come quickly in my to give, and I will give reward to all men according as their work shall be. And so God says, okay, that's what you want to do. That's fine. You continue to do whatever you're going to do, because I'm coming soon and I'm going to reward you for that work. And you're not going to like the reward. But the nations of men are coming down to a part that's going to be fulfilled in 2 Thessalonians 2 and Revelation 13. And you are not going to like the results if you don't find the Lord and stick with him. And you're going to hate every Christian if you don't. And I'm telling you that every Christian, they're going to hate Israel. They're going to hate the believers. And it's going to get tough. Now, when is this going to happen? Sometime after tomorrow. So she goes to her idols and nothing happens. Well, go figure. And they would be ardent and they would stay there, but nothing happens. Verse 13, this is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning Moab since that time. But now the Lord has spoken, saying, within 3 years, as the years of a hireling, and the glory of Moab shall be condemned, with all that great multitude, and the remnant shall be very small and feeble. So in verse 13, he says, this is the word that the Lord spoke. And in the very next word, He says, but now the Lord has spoken. So the Lord gave the one word, and then the Lord gave another word, saying within 3 years. Now, see, these are lessons that we don't want to have to, suffer through. We want to be able to deal with the issue of pride and sin ahead of time. We want to deal with following the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting, following the Lord, and walking in Him. That's the focus. Because while judgment is coming on America, that doesn't mean God is going to judge His people. That means He's going to make a way for them. I believe that. But that doesn't mean that there's not going to be persecution. See, persecution and judgment are two different things. So the issue before you today is tomorrow's another day, and you have to look tomorrow to begin to solve your actions. Because eventually, it's going to get ramped up. You know, Trump can't stay in there forever anyway. I mean, even if he does get another 4 years, sooner or later, one of those people that want to destroy everything is going to get in, or could very well get in. And that would be there because of judgment, because God is bringing the nation down. But He's not just going to do it with America. The nations are going to be judged. Make no mistake about it. You're not going to get away from the fact that you're a created being. This God created you, and you are going to answer to Him because He is the Father of all souls, and you as a soul belong to Him. You may not like it. That's tough. You have nothing to say about it, absolutely nothing. You have a choice to make, and that's concerning the Lord, Yahshua, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You for Your word today. Bless the people as they hear it, Lord. Help them to understand and to follow You and to walk in Your ways. For we know that You have delivered us and made a way for us. In Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, string of this word. Amen. Okay, Tower. Next time, we are going to be in chapter 17. We're going to be talking about Damascus. Now, Damascus is really a prophecy that when we really deal with it, it hasn't been totally fulfilled yet. So that's going to be interesting. So, Tower, you back?
Yes, it will. Yes, I'm back. Yes. So that we don't have much time. I like this. I like the book of Isaiah. I'm glad you're doing it. And it's very interesting. And so be sure to thank you for joining us tonight or whenever you do. May God richly bless you for all you do for Him. And stay tuned into Him and do not fear what's happening in the world. He is our help in a very present time of need. And we love you and we thank you for joining us. Good night, everybody. God bless you.
Good night, everybody. Shalom.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.
I think it's something better to say. That was dumb.